Welcome to part two of our three-part episode on Alien Romulus. This is Scream Divers. Enjoy the show. The color palette of this movie is very important. I have a theory, and it's probably obvious, but when it comes down to the first four movies, if you had to classify the genres they fall into, my theory is that Alien is a horror, Aliens is an action movie, Alien Cubed, or Alien 3, is a thriller, and Alien 4, Alien Resurrection, is a fantasy movie. Not only you have this way of classifying them, it puts them in different boxes, but the color palette is very, very... Is it color palette or palette? Can I keep saying palette? We said homage, palette. So now it's palette.
Palette. I say palette. So, you palette. Know.
We're all saying different things. Good. We've got three versions of this. It's global. But when it comes down to the color palette, the first movie doesn't really have that. I don't think Ridley goes for that. It goes for tone. Yeah. But the rest of them do. And the second movie in particular has a blue tinge to it. And that blue is James Cameron blue. And there are sequences in this where homage to Aliens is paid heavily. There's a bit where there's a smoke machine going off. And there's a laser at the, you know, right before the anti-gravity sequence. That tone of blue is James Cameron blue. What were you saying, Ricky?
Yeah, I was going to say that in Alien, it's a slightly greeny.
Yeah. Mm. Well, now, the third movie is Fincher. Fincher does grimy, amber, brown.
Yeah.
It's a thing that he does in all of his movies in a particular way because that's the tone. And I love when a director does that. I love it. In Alien 4, there's one color in Resurrection. There's one color that is very dominant. I think it was Jean-Pierre Jeunet or Caro.
Yes,
the guys from the Little
Test. Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
One of them, I think. And it's green. That movie is green through and through. Yeah, green, 100%. Green, green, green. And it's a particular type of green as well.
Mm-hmm.
This movie,
City of Lost Children, green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo. Mm. Bravo.
Bravo.
Très bien. In this movie, the color palette that I thought was chosen, which it would have been great if you went all the way through, is red. And red is heavily prominent here. And I think Alvarez doubled down on the best sequence of his remake. In Evil Dead, he tried to replicate the amount of blood used in Evil Dead 2 Dead by Dawn. You know, the shower scene with the...
But not only the shower scene, in Evil Dead,
What is it? In the remake, the chainsaw sequence... He's renowned, the entire production. Like, it's like how he basically approached the public by giving them it's a great marketing technique, I think, to give the public insight on the production process, like a trailer before the movie comes out. He did the same with this and practical effects. In fact, I wish I didn't watch that because it raised the bar for me even further. When I was like, okay, in this age, I am using practical effects. You know how impractical this is, but I'm going to do it. And he did that with Evil Dead. Like, they use liters. Like, I think he's got the record now for the highest amount of blood used in a movie. And it's to replicate that sequence with Ash. Jesus, Ricky, you're a big Sam Raimi fan. Your son is called Ash.
Yep.
There you go. So you know what I'm talking about. So red was a prominent color picked for this.
I was going to add to that in terms of in Evil Dead. If, again, you haven't seen the remake of Evil Dead, there was a point in that film, whoever's listening to this hasn't seen Evil Dead.
Okay. I really hope, you know what? If you haven't seen it, stop listening. We don't want you. We don't want you.
But I tell you what, that scene,
which remake, by the way? Not Evil Dead fucking Rise.
Oh my God. This is you all over, but we'll talk about you
and
franchise films later on. You and franchise film is the best thing ever. But anyway.
Okay, we're talking about Alvarez's remake of Evil Dead.
Yes, we are.
So when I said we don't want you if you haven't seen it, please, we're talking about the Alvarez 2013 Evil Dead remake, not Evil Dead Rise, which is the movie that broke my fucking heart. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay, go ahead. Anyway, nothing to do with Alvarez. Go ahead.
And again, if you haven't seen it, please switch off now because I'm about to spoil something amazing here. I was sat there in the cinema and it was like the weekend it opened and I sat there and I was all over it. Like, I loved all the homages.
I hate that we didn't go together.
Anyway, I saw all of this stuff. And the bit that I laughed out loud and I probably disturbed everybody in the cinema at was towards the end when she's like standing outside the cabin and it rains blood. Blood. Oh my god! That's amazing. That made the whole film for me. I didn't care if people said like, "Oh, it's a bit torture porny" or whatever. I literally was like, "That scene, you cannot beat that scene." She thinks she's beaten the curse, and it rains blood. It is why. Even with this film and with Don't Breathe, I will always say, if he didn't make that film.
Yeah.
I probably would have been like, yeah, okay, they got somebody who did Don't Breathe and all that. Yeah, it's a horror film. That version of Evil Dead, and many people don't rate that remake of Evil Dead. I do. I'm with you on that one.
It took me a long time to watch it.
The 2013.
I was adamant I wasn't going to watch it. I was adamant I was going to. It can't be done kind of situation. Then I watched it. And I was like, actually, I should have seen this in a cinema.
You know why it works? I think that movie straddles the line between Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
Yes.
Because it's hard to replicate the comedy of the second one. It's really hard, man. It's that type of slapstick that only Raimi can do.
100%.
Yeah, so he did it as a fan. Again, though, this goes back to, you know, I think it's time to shine for him now. He was born in 1976. And he's actually Uruguayan as well. He was born in Montevideo. So he's my age bracket. He's our age bracket. And he makes movies like a fan. And that's how Tarantino started. You say what you want about Tarantino, but you can see the love coming through from his movies. Call him hacky, call him this, call him whatever. Yeah. But that's important to me. I appreciate that. So when it comes down to the color palette, going back to what I was saying, I hope he sticks to red. I hope he owns it. You know, nobody else is doing that now, and I think he should keep doing it. And in this movie, you see sometimes it's just heavy presence of red lighting in it. There's a tinge covering a sequence. And it's like he really wanted to go all out on it and have it pervasive throughout the entire movie, and he didn't.
Even the poster.
Yeah.
The red poster.
Now,
it follows
suit. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But there's, you know, he paid homage to the original quadrology. You know,
yes,
he had to, and you know, you got 2 hours to do it, so there's so much space. Plus, imagine having Ridley's presence behind you, just telling you, please put this in, put this in. You're laughing, but I'm pretty fucking sure he did that, man, and you can see it. Okay, the stuff being shoehorned in here, he paid homage to Alien, he paid homage to Aliens. God damn it, man. Look,
Prometheus,
to Prometheus, to Covenant.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to Ridley, obviously there was this legacy of Prometheus and Covenant and this desire that Ridley may have carry this on.
Ridley
and
still has credits as a waiting for the next movie.
It's possibly the ninth and final installment of this saga in movie form, because I think it's going to move to television.
Yeah, well, we got Alien coming out. That makes a lot.
Yeah.
Before we carry on, you guys have already brought up Ridley Scott a few times. Have you got your phone?
Yeah.
Have you got your phone near you? Okay, I'm going to send you.
I've got a tablet here. Screen's all over. This is like a cyberpunk novel, man.
I'm about to send you something on WhatsApp. I'm about to send you something on WhatsApp.
So my phone's going to go ping.
Yeah, this is
a
message.
You're the machine that goes ping.
Yeah, this is something I've been holding on to since I saw Alien Romulus, all right?
Okay, better be short because this makes for dog shit content.
It's my favorite meme.
Listening to this, I would put this on the page.
Uh-huh. Come on. Let's do it. Nice to see you.
If it bleeds. Which, by the way, there is a connection to this franchise with Arnie. It's Predator.
Yes,
and that's
Predator,
it. So he is part of this universe. You could say that. You could. Please. This movie would have lasted 10 minutes, which Schwarzenegger in it. 10 minutes. You want to lay eggs into my mouth? Come on.
The one thing I've realized about our conversation so far is that we focused on the first half an hour of a 2-hour movie.
No. And I didn't even get to the point I was going to try and make because Uber broke in.
Do it. Make the point, man.
I'm muting my mic to make sure Steve can say this.
Go.
Okay, so what we get introduced to is the original Big Chap, which is the classic alien from Aliens. Oh my God. Even when he's trying to be quiet.
I just took a squeak on his skin.
Okay, so we get the cocooned alien Big Chap. And it's the same cocooned alien Big Chap, Ripley.
Big Chap, what the fuck are you talking about?
That was the name. That was the name given to the first alien.
First alien
in 1979.
Was it like the production name? Big Chap.
Production name. Big Chap.
Because it's Ridley Scott. It's Ridley Scott, man.
Every single version of the aliens has a different name.
You know what? I could be watching Black Rain, dude. I could be watching Black Rain right now. I could be watching Ridley Scott trying to make a movie like his brother.
So, and it's a nice design choice to have that same alien come back in the same design, even with the same hook.
It is the same alien, though.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it is. No, but it is the same alien.
This is why I'm saying it's a Big Chap.
It's a Big Chap. Yeah, it is a Big Chap.
It is a Big Chap. And Big the cocoon and everything else. And the production design from that is perfect.
Cocoon one more time, I'm going to put it on the schedule. Because we are getting to that age anyway.
Oh my God, can we do cocoon? Oh my God, can we do cocoon 2, the return?
What the fuck is it? Why are you wincing, Steve? It's a great fucking movie. And maybe at this age we'll get it a little bit more. Plus, it's got Brimley.
I can't feel my urethra anymore, darling. But since I've been in that pool. I love Cocoon. Oh my God, why did you mention Cocoon? That's all on my mind.
That bit is.
Well, I've been talking about cocoons for the last time.
Okay,
fucking made the thing for me.
Let's stop the design part.
Let's bring it back. Okay. I want to talk about the practical effects. Okay.
Yes.
And I know the practical effects are one of the good things about this film, but it's also one of the things
about this film.
Oh my God. Did you see? Right. Okay. Again.
No, stay with what the fuck you were saying. I was following you for one moment. My ADD was at bay, and I was listening to you. So please, what were you saying? Don't take a fucking tangent. That's my job.
You're the one who said cocoon. Jeez.
Come on.
Probably guessed. We talk about movies a lot to ourselves.
And I say this from the bottom of my heart or from the heart of my bottom. I wish you were all here with us in this room right now. You, on the other hand, you should be worried if you were hit. I'm not trapped here with you. You're trapped here with me. You're trapped in here with me.
Ricky, finish what you're saying, Ricky. Please finish what you're saying.
Are we talking about practical effects yet?
You. Yes. You were talking about practical effects.
Good. There is one scene in... Okay, there's many scenes, but... Okay.
It's a movie. There's many... Actually... 24 frames per second for 119 minutes made for many, many scenes.
Oh my God.
Anyway, there is one scene. So they're about to. No, this is too much now. This is getting worse. Okay.
Come on.
There's a scene where they're about to do the don't breathe bit, which is. They are going through this whole room full of face huggers. And just before they go, they show the face huggers in the room. And I kid you not, there is a face hugger on a wheelie ball that just goes like that. And it just like crawls across the screen, not moving any of its little hands.
Did you see it? Did you notice it?
Yeah. And it goes on the and at the same time, there's something really charming. Though.
It is charming. I agree.
But
I still get a kick out of seeing mic stands in rom coms, in TV sitcoms.
Yep.
Whenever I see a mic stand,
The boom mics when they
you see the boom mic, the mic entering the picture. Sorry, I still get in the frame. I still get a kick out of that. I think
there's something very charming about it. However, that scene had the awful thing of, we got to go through this quietly. So they're going through it quietly. They've put up the heat signature, you know, the room temperature up to whatever. and so their heat signature can't be seen. And the facehuggers are still turning towards them. And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, no. That's great. Guys, I'm going to lead you into something else about this movie. Hey, Ricky, you done?
Yep.
Okay. In the research that I was doing, stylistically speaking, all these choices were made out of, you know, out of respect for the franchise by Fader, I'm pretty sure. Besides all the bullshit that really shoehorned into this movie. But anyway, it's like, you want the money? You want the money, dude? You got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to talk about the black fucking goo over and
black
over.
Goo.
Anyway, one of the things, and I'm pretty sure that Fede would know what this is. I wonder if Fede Alvarez is ever going to listen to this. Just please know that we all love you. Continue. We are here. You're laughing, Ricky, but he might. He might. This guy actually, Fede Alvarez got locked out. If you're listening to this, if you just go on social media or just do a Google search for Fede Alvarez, was unable to post on an alien, or it was a tweet or an X thing. But basically, people thought he was impersonating himself. Did you see that?
On Reddit?
Yeah, on Reddit. Yep. There you go. Thank you. I'll put it in the show notes anyway. We'll put it in the show notes.
The thing.
Anyway, he got banned because people thought he was impersonating himself. Now, there is one feeling that I got from this movie as soon as they got to the Renaissance. The space station reminded me of a video game franchise that it's very close to my heart. And if you're listening to this, don't steal this from me. That is Dead Space. Dead Space came out in 2008. It was released by Visceral Games, but the man behind it, his name was Glenn Schofield. And if you heard this name in last year or the year before, it's because there was a bit of an uproar about him being the creator, being locked out of one of the best remakes of an older game for a current generation of consoles and PC. So there is more than one reference. The first time I started thinking of Dead Space is when the camera is kind of floating through one of the corridors of the space station, and there is a disembodied voice in the background, which is meant to be addressing the civilians that live on the space station and
Mother.
The scientists as well. Mother. Oh, yeah. It really, really reminded me of Dead Space. Like a lot. Yep. Not a little bit, like a lot.
So that voice was actually done by Anna Marie Griggs, who plays Mother.
Well, there you go.
She's from production team.
From the production team. Do we know her from anything else?
Yeah, Mother from the originals.
No, she's not the Mother from the originals.
Is she not?
No. She's actually the voice of Mother for this.
But she's emulating the original Mother, right?
I suspect so.
That's one of the things that reminded me just more than Dead Space, but the titular character, the main character for that game, which is Isaac. Isaac is meant to wear suits and protective gear that resembles mining gear as well. And towards the end of this movie, the entire sequence with Rain, which, by the way, Kaylee Spaney, it's not the first time that she played a character called Rain in popular media. Can someone do me a favor? Steve is laughing because maybe I stole this trivia from him. And if he doesn't know, Ricky, can you please do a quick search on her IMDb?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. The video game Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight. Yep. A slasher. Another tribute to proper slashers. God, that's the second time that she plays Rain. Yeah.
I can't believe Dead by Daylight is 8 years ago when it first got released.
There's a board game coming out, by the way. There's a Kickstarter.
And I think there's a remake.
Yep.
Or something coming out.
Maybe. Yeah, there's going to
be
like
if there'll be a movie coming out soon.
Yeah, they're going to repackage Dead by Daylight by the sounds
for
of
sure.
it again. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. It's one versus all, that kind of online game that, you know, if you don't know what Dead by Daylight is, take a look. But if you're not into online games,
they call it asymmetric.
Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah. Mm. There are several. Even the Texas Chainsaw online game is like that as well, I think.
Yeah, and Evil Dead.
Yeah. It's not for me, but I understand the appeal for someone that goes for it. I prefer a solo experience when it comes down to video games. I think it's my generation, probably. I don't know.
It is. It totally is, because I'm there with you. Because there's something
I don't
about,
criticize
like,
it. I understand that there's a need to socialize in that virtual platform, and it's not for me. So
I love multiplayer video games, but as long as they're Nintendo. So that kind of sums up.
Okay, you're a fucking fanboy, yeah, and that's all right. Know. We know you. So when it comes down to that space, I thought, okay, it's obvious. If you have played that space, you know that this obviously that space was paying tribute to Alien.
Yeah.
But then this thing bounced back the other way as well. And this leads us into our next section of this this conversation. We have seen on screen the first live action representation of the main enemies in this video game franchise, and that is the Necromorph. Yeah. The Necromorph is the creature that you face. They come in different shapes and sizes. But what I'm talking about in this movie, to me, will always be a Necromorph, but
no, it's called The Offspring.
It's called The Offspring. It's not even funny. Like, it's too close to what a Necromorph is. And the thing is, that space was paying homage to the Alien franchise. It must have been, because that's, you know, Outland, all of those movies. Outland was written by Dan O'Bannon, right?
Yeah,
there you go.
Can I just add with The Offspring, when you sent me that meme of, like, what Alien Romulus is, and it had a picture of Robert Bobrovsky.
Rob Bob. That's his nickname. Yeah.
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke. Yeah. And then looked and it's actually him.
Me too, mate. Same thing. Which, by the way, I did a deep dive on him as well.
Yeah. Like, bless him.
Apparently, he became
a deep dive on him.
Why are you assuming that I'm blowing him, man? What the fuck?
Because you deep dived him. You did a deep dive. That's what we do. We're screen divers. We do a deep dive.
Anyway, so Robert Bobrovsky. What was it? Robert.
That will be close enough because
I don't want to butcher it, man, because I know how to pronounce it once I read it.
There's a Z in there. I said I didn't want to butcher it. You did it for us. There's an I, you know. And he's Romanian, so I really.
No, yes, I don't know. He's Romanian, but he's of Hungarian descent. And before this episode, if I was preemptive enough, okay, or proactive enough, I was going to go three doors down, but I hate walking. I was going to go three doors down to my neighbors who are Hungarian. And I was going to go out of the blue with no context. I was just going to knock on the door and I was going to show them my phone and go, how do you say this? So, but anyway, Rob.
You know what? I'm bringing it up. I'll tell you in a second how you pronounce it.
Bobrovsky. That's how you pronounce it.
Okay, I'm right then. Bobrovsky. Okay.
It's an Hungarian. He's of Hungarian descent. He's got an Hungarian name, but he was brought up in Romania. He is 2.37 meters tall, which to our American friends, that's 7'6".
Yeah,
7'6". Is that how you say it? 7'6".
Yeah,
That's 7'6". Fucking freakish tall. And then when I was doing the dive, I was like, oh my god, is this a disease? And I went, was it? You know, I did a search. Apparently,
it's not gigantism.
Yeah, it's not. They did several tests. It's fine. However, because of his gait and because of his, you know, then he became a prominent basketball player, as you would, because that's a good career choice if you are as tall as the fucking basket.
Just stop the ball in midair.
Dude, I was talking to Anish, like, is that even fair? And I'm like, are we going to have this conversation? Like, is that even fair? But he can just put it in. Yes. But he was playing center. I said to her, I know nothing about basketball. Nothing. Yeah,
which means he's not shooting.
She goes, oh, yeah, that's fair. Apparently, he would only be able to play for no more than 15 minutes. It would be really exhausting, dude. It would be exhausting. So not to mention unfair to everybody else on the court. Here's the kicker. The first time the public became aware of him was because he was playing for an Italian team based in Rome called Stella Azzurra in 2014-2015.
I was going to say the reason he came to fame was because he was part of Rochester.
He's fucking 2.37 meters tall.
I'm saying like he's not. I don't think he ever made it to the NBA, but he was definitely part of college basketball where he's part of the Michigan Rochester University.
Rochester University. I'm not sure, but I don't think he's playing anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. He's 24 years old.
I suspect
dude.
He's just gone straight into film. Mm. He's going to be picked up on, you know.
That's an avenue to explore for sure. Yeah. And this leads us into what public opinion has some people have perceived as being questionable. This was not it. Nobody has an issue whatsoever with the representation, because basically there's barely a suit here. Like when I saw him, I was like, oh, this isn't real. This is CGI. And then when I saw the meme, I thought, what the fuck? But if you don't know what Robert Bobrovsky looks like, please take a look. He seems like a very talented young man with, you know, an abnormal kind of appearance, or not abnormal, an unusual, or a very rare kind of. It's not even a condition. You can't call it that. It's just very tall, dude.
Yeah. You know what? I associate
him with...
He's
a giant.
With,
he's a real-life giant.
Yeah, I associate him with, like, you know, and I really
don't
hope...
Don't get us cancelled. Please don't get us cancelled.
No. What I'm saying is, you know, I'm hoping that a lot of our listeners are Twin Peaks fans. I'm a huge David Lynch
fan.
Yes,
so do I.
Yeah. Yep. I'm, like, anything David Lynch... Like, I've said this on many times. There's two artists that even if they like murmured something into a microphone, I'd buy it. It's David Lynch and Maynard James Keenan. Those are the two artists in my life.
Who's the second one?
Maynard James Keenan of Tool.
Fucking, are you a Tool fan? Like hardcore? Still?
I'm a Tool, a Perfect Circle, Pussifer. And even if Maynard spoke... On a record,
you idolize this prick. Have you seen? Is it Water into Wine? What was it called?
I love Water into Wine.
Mate,
shall I tell
it's
you?
The ultimate fucking wank. It's a rock star thinking he's Jesus.
You know what I love the most? Yeah. Shall I?
Did you see how he holds a wine glass?
Yeah, I love it.
How Maynard holds a wine glass? You, dude, this is stuff I don't want to find out about you,
mate,
in public,
I'm about to pull down. I am about to pull down the vinyl that I specifically ordered of his 50th anniversary tour. Do you remember he did like four nights at Las Vegas? Maybe you don't know because I'm such a Maynard fan. He did four nights at Las Vegas. Come on, beautiful analytic mind. Of course I'm going to be like, oh my God, Lateralis is all about this. And
the
it's all about the curve. It's
of
the golden path
life,
and all of this stuff.
The love of my life is a huge fan, just like you. So I had to adapt, okay?
Anyway.
So this is, no, anyway. We're going to stay on this for a second.
No, you
mentioned Maynard. You fucking mentioned Maynard. There's nothing wrong with you. You're fine.
I cannot tell you the amount of memorabilia I have signed by that man in my household right now.
If you see the look of apprehension that Steve is giving you, there's nothing wrong with Tool, by the way. It's great.
No,
band.
I was backstage with them in Brixton Academy. So, yeah.
Which year was it?
It must have been 2012, 2015.
So that was the gig that I almost didn't go to. And then a friend phoned me and he said, like, hey, man, are you going to the tour gig? And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to. And he's like, mate, you're the biggest Maynard fan I know. Why aren't you going to the gig? And I'm like, oh, you know, money. And oh, mate, why aren't you going to the gig? And I was like, I've bought two tickets just as you've been talking to me. Okay, all right. Let's see you there. All right.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
Anyway, I was going to say the two artists, David Lynch and Maynard James Keenan. Yeah. And the thing I liked about Twin Peaks is that everybody represented within Twin Peaks were not picked just because, oh, this would be really funny if there was a reason behind why they were picked. So the one thing I was thinking of, and it wasn't the man behind
you're
in
talking
the
about
red
physical
room,
traits, right?
Yes.
Being casted because of them, yeah.
And it wasn't because of the man in the red room that a lot of people know about, but it was the tall man who kept giving messages to Agent Cooper. But
dude,
not only,
physicality and performance go man on man. There's nothing wrong with that. That's
and
fucking
that's
great.
What,
some great
that's
actors.
What this, I mean, this is what Robert Bobrovsky, that's what he reminds me of. He reminds me of the tall man. He has that presence.
Fine, dude. He's terrifying in this. The only shame here is that he's physical presence and his performance is overshadowed, in my opinion, is overshadowed by the false ending.
Quickly run through some things that I had a problem with, right?
Yeah, go.
Okay,
go.
But
we'll
I'm going
to
start off.
Take us to the bridge.
I'm going to start off with this. There's something I find really funny about franchise films that I feel like started with J.J. Abrams, which is when you have stuff like Star Trek and Star Wars, when they first came back, when they first came back to be popular among a younger generation, what they end up doing is going, let's have a look at the old films. Let's collect everything that we love about. Yeah. Let's collect everything we love about the old films and let's just start throwing them in, because this has to be the first film that gets bums into seats, makes people go, you know what I loved about it? Nostalgia. And then as the minute that the nostalgia hits, people like us go, you know what?
They're trying to mitigate the two worlds.
Yeah.
New audience and existing fan base. I get it.
I know that, like, again, we haven't talked about our history with Alien. I can tell you my history with Alien.
They're going to make sure the movie's profitable. Yeah, there's a lot of fucking money on the table. I get it, you know?
I'm the youngest out of the three of us, right? But when it comes...
Don't gloat. There's no need to gloat. Jesus Christ, man.
This is why I love Maynard, man. Fuck. You guys just don't understand. Anyway.
What the fuck are you talking about? That is my music. Oh, by the way, you're fucking 5 years younger than me, so shut the fuck up. Oh my God, man. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, my point is that when I was growing up, I had Aliens recorded from the TV. I then went and I
bought... VHS? You had it on VHS?
I bought the Alien Saga before Alien Resurrection was released on video. Sorry, mixing up my words because of the whiskey. Before Alien Resurrection was released on video, I had an Alien Saga box set that had Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and then had the making of Alien Resurrection. It didn't even have Alien Resurrection in it. It had those.
It was because you got it probably around the time, or you did this, you taped it around the time that movie was being promoted.
So I had Aliens taped off TV because I don't know why I talked my parents at a very young age. Yeah, it's Aliens, whatever. And
Do you remember the brand of blank tapes you used to buy?
I think it was JVC.
Steve, what was your favorite brand? Because mine was TDK. I remember
TDK. TDK, yeah. Maxwell had the...
Oh, Maxwell, yeah.
Maxwell had the extended tape.
And you could put it on long play and it'd be 8 hours.
Fuck, I actually miss VHS right now that we're talking about it.
Anyway,
and
breaking the tab. This is for keeps, guys. Break the tab.
You know how many? More than once as a teenager, I used to pull out
to the gods
the silver part of the when you open a new pack of cigarettes, you pull out the silver part and fold it into a little square and then put that in.
Even like when you bought like a pre-recorded tape and you're like, this movie's terrible, I'm gonna put sticky tape or sellotape over it.
You still need something behind it to give it weight, because otherwise pull the tab, even if you use sticky tape, unless it was duct tape, I don't know, but if you had something stronger, but if you had just had sticky tape, which more likely we had more access to as kids, I remember that you needed to put some paper behind it and then the sticky tape on top.
100%.
I think I ended up just putting over like 5 or 6 different tape, like different strips of tape on it just to make it solid. Anyway, my point is that like, so I bought Alien Saga when Alien Resurrection wasn't even on VHS yet. And then I bought the VHS. And then I bought it on DVD. And then I bought it on Blu-ray. And then I stopped. I did not buy any editions that had Prometheus. I did not buy any editions that had Alien Covenant. I have ever since Alien Resurrection, I just stopped. You know,
the quadrilogy, like many of us. That's it.
That's the quadrilogy. The fact that this movie did exactly what Star Wars Episode 7 did, or did what the new Star Trek did, which was, and again, I
take you back to the beginning.
I loved the aesthetics for this film. I loved them to bits. This reminded me very much of what J.J. Abrams did for Star Trek and Star Wars, which is collected a lot of stuff that we love as fanboys and then just kind of repeated a little bit of it and then was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's bring in some of the other fans from Prometheus. Let's bring in some of the other fans from Covenant, which I did not appreciate.
I agree with you. from financial standpoint, I can see why Scott Free would do this reluctantly on Ridley's part. Ridley Scott is, how old is he? 80 years old?
Yes.
Easy, right?
Plus.
What is he, 82? Credit goes to him for many things, all right? He's beginning to shit on his own work, and when asked what his favorite movies are, he mentions his own work.
86. He's 86.
Okay, he's 86. I don't think we're going to get to 86 with the life we led when we were younger. We're not going to get to 86. If we're very lucky, we'll get to 86. And if we get to 86, we'd be insufferable. So yeah. I'm not shitting on really on that count. However, I can see why the studio, his production company, would be shooting for this movie has a formula to it, okay? And I can see Alvarez skirting around the rules, which you mentioned earlier, because the J.J. Abrams example is very, very good. There are formulas here, and when you start throwing millions at something, it's money. People want a return on their investment. I get it. So, yeah, okay, we cannot neglect the existing fan base. We need to set up with the future of media and the way it's distributed, which is streaming
and
platforms.
And the franchise again. Absolutely. Want to start the franchise
and then
again.
You also have to abide to the rules, the canonic rules of a franchise of this magnitude. And this is coming, dude. I had a one-to-one, a conversation on social media once and a back-to-back. Like at some point, I'll see if I can find it. I think I sent it to you when it happened.
Yes,
With Andrew E.C. Gusk. Now, if you don't know what Andrew, you're listening, if you don't know what Andrew E.C. Gask or Gaska is, he's Swedish. He's the man hired. I think he works for 20th Century and he works for Scott Free. He's in charge of canon. He's also the author and one of the pivotal members of the creation of Free League Publishing. He is in charge of the Alien RPG, traditional tabletop RPG, which I have. I've got everything. I actually purposely did not open those books before this episode because I wanted to come up short. I purposely wanted to fuck this up, so I didn't touch them. But there's a lot of lore in those books.
Do you want to describe your interaction with him?
My interaction with him was I insisted, like many others do, because it's a part of us. And I made a case for it, a very strong case, apparently, because I was the beginning of a cult. All the people that were as misguided as I was fucking liked my post on Facebook. I was talking about how categorically I could state that the Blade Runner and the Alien universe were fused together and they were part of the same universe.
And Soldier?
Oh, yeah, dude, that was reinforcing my point, all this shit, you know, all these factoids. And all of a sudden, this dude jumps in and goes, I'm sorry, but that's not correct. Nice and short, something like that. And I went, what do you mean? And rah, 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 just keep going. And then fucking people liking that post as well. And then the guy, look, he actually started the next post with, look, I don't want to be that guy. I am in charge. And he told me who he was. Before this happened, I posted a site, very well built, a website that actually has a timeline of the Blade Runner and the Alien universe fused together. And he goes, dude, that site was made as a joke by one of my collaborators and dear friend. It's amazing. It's amazing. Anyway, his name is Andrew E.C. Gusk. If you don't know who he is, because maybe you had access only to the 9 movies available in the Alien franchise, you should go take a look. If you want to get back into role-playing games, traditional role-playing games, if you ever dabbled in the world of Dungeons & Dragons or Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and you love this franchise, same with Fallout, for example, there's a world out there for you to go and discover. There's a lot of your IPs that have beautiful board games, design modern board games. We're not talking about Monopoly and Risk here. Or, man, we didn't even mention Nemesis. Awakened Realms. Nemesis. And a lot of people that are listening to this, if you want to play a board game that is alien inspired, yes, you do have Alien Fate of the Nostromo, produced by Ravensburger, which is phenomenal. If you're a fan of the original movie, it's beautiful. Beautiful. It's nice and simple and accessible. But if you wanted to go as far as getting Nemesis, which is a love letter to Alien, go and get that. Or there's Gale Force 9, another company that makes another game based on the Aliens franchise. Anyway, point of the matter is that all of these companies that offshoot into different types of media out of the realm of film are still responsible for sticking to canon, for paying homage to a franchise that it's beloved, and you need to be very careful when you sway away from what's, you know, allowed or what's part of canon. So as restrictive as that is, this world is so expansive. Yeah? So large.
Expansive.
That there's a lot of...
Like homage.
Homage. The Expanse. The Expanse, actually. That's a great show. But anyway.
Yes.
There's a lot, as restrictive as that may be, as fans as well, don't gatekeep. Let's not gatekeep. If you're listening to this as well and we got something wrong, we don't, and I wouldn't. It's energy gone in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Rook next. So,
okay.
Do you know who else voiced Ash? Don't fucking... Don't look on screen.
Daniel Betts.
Okay. No, you don't. So just say, I don't know, and then I'll tell you. You know who else voiced Ash? Not in the movies, but in something that is
considered... in a computer game.
Something that is considered canon. Yeah? You're looking. Yeah, I can see you looking at a screen. I can see you moving your mouse.
Is it to do with a certain computer game which came out on PS4?
No, it's not Alien Isolation.
Okay, right. Okay. Then I'm not sure. So it must be something else then. Like audiobook.
Again, we didn't mention it all. That was all right, actually. One of the things that I have here, it's an anthology of the first three novels that came out. Those three novels are Out of the Shadows, Sea of Sorrow, and River of Pain. Which, by the way, we need to mention them because most of these three novels, if not all of them, take place within the same timeline of Romulus.
They do.
So it's, well,
but I've not read
them. It's between Alien and Aliens. Between Alien and Aliens.
I have not read them. Yeah.
Who is the person that played the voice of Ash in the audio play of Out of Shadows?
No idea at all.
Rutger Hauer.
But I am amazed.
No, you're not. You don't sound amazed.
No, I am amazed. Yeah. We've been both watching a documentary recently about RoboCop.
Dude, I've been enjoying
it. Dude.
It's so good.
Yes, I've been watching it. But to the people listening, Rutger Hauer was actually...
The documentary in question is RoboDoc. It's so good. It's one of... The other was recommended by George in Horror Weekly, and it's about the making of Nightmare on Elm Street. Never Sleep Again. There's that, and then there's the Eat one, about the production of the original Eat, the TV series. This also falls under the category of one of the best ever made, and if not, it takes the top spot. It's a 4-episode series. It's absolutely amazing. Ricky just got back from his peeing adventure. How did Pee Quest go? Oh, you just restocked your whiskey.
I also got restocked.
Or did you do something else?
Oh, actually, it's the same color. So what are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, aquavita, baby.
is that like the drinking urine therapy? You're doing like...
That's what they call it in League of Gentlemen, aquavita, baby.
Oh my God. Yeah, they do. Anyway, what we're talking about. We're talking about RoboDoc, the documentary, the 4-part documentary about the making of RoboCop
on Amazon Prime.
Or for our American friends, is on Tubi. It's there as well. I posed a question to Steve, and what you did miss, Ricky, was here on this table, I have the anthology of the first three novels of Alien. It's the Alien collection, and the three novels in question are actually very enjoyable. Is Out of the Shadows, Sea of Sorrows, and River of Pain.
I only know River of Pain.
Yeah,
and I've not read
all three. Take place within the same timeline between Alien and Aliens.
Yeah,
which is another point I was going to make. Which is, why didn't you just make a movie about these? Because they're really good. You know, and one of them would have given us insight about Hadley Hope. And
isn't River of Pain directly Aliens, like pre-Aliens?
Fuck, I read them so long ago that I just brought the book out. Like, the three of them are taking place within those two movies, which, by the way, that's going to be my turn to go to the bathroom. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
I'll be back.
Right, Steve, now that we've got the Machiavellian host out of the way. I want to talk about Ben Wolfish, and I think that's how you pronounce his name.
I think it is.
Well, I was going to liken it to my earlier comment, which is like, this is a bit J.J. Abraham-esque. He took this element from Jerry Goldsmith's Goldsmith's score. He took this element from James Horner's score from Aliens. And he took this element from Mark Stein. Streitenfeld. That's the one. Streitenfeld. And that was the composer for Prometheus.
I'm just looking at Prometheus now. So that's what I was just trying to get to. But also bringing up some classical pieces from Covenant, was it?
Yep.
Yeah. So, it, I mean, works within in the movie itself. So I have a sound, has notes of reminiscence from the other movies, and also gives us a musical note that we can basically harken back to. I have to say that it fitted well with the movie itself and gave us an overview of those tones and the differences between them. Because obviously the beginning of the movie felt more Alien.
Mm.
As soon as we got to the action, we got the Aliens kind of notes. And when we got to the droids talking, I prefer the term artificial.
Someone had to quote that at some point during this.
But it's the idea that we were getting these notes deliberately, because it's given us the sound template of those movies, and it's giving us the action templates or non-action templates of those things. It would have been nice to hear a full score. I haven't listened to it yet because I need to go through it, do a deep dive on the music itself.
I would totally echo what you're saying here, which is sort of at the time, there was at no point did I actually hear these tones. I feel like to begin with, the visuals and the audio really fit really well. So, like,
they do.
Oh, you
dick.
What?
No crisps.
No, I'm not.
What are you talking about? Into the microphone.
No, it's the microphone. It's the microphone. I'm not eating. Go ahead. Anyway, I'm listening.
The initial bit where, like, I didn't even pick up the alien tones. I didn't pick up the Jerry. Oh, my God, mate.
What are you talking about?
We're physically seeing you shove stuff in your mouth.
That's not happening.
What were you talking about?
We're talking about the score.
And how the score has...
The sound. You were talking about the sound.
No. We weren't talking about sound.
Sound design itself.
Who's the score by?
The score by was by Ben Wolfish. We think it's Wolfish or Wolfish.
Wolfish. Mm. Yeah. Wolfish. We're still talking about the first half an hour of the film. But
what did you think?
To be completely honest with you, there was an actual issue, and Steve will agree with us. I heard people before, as much as Steve had the plug-in and I was trying to fucking really not read any reviews or anything, still bits and pieces filter through. And they kind of elevated my expectations. And one of them was about the sound design. And I do believe that it was great. However, the theater we went to see it in
It wasn't good.
Yeah. It wasn't great. It didn't showcase that. I've got Dolby Atmos, because I rave about, anyone that knows me knows that I rave about Dolby Atmos and DTSX as the part of the industry that appeals to me the most. More than higher resolutions of HDR, when it comes down to sound design, I am completely enamored with the possibilities and what's available at the moment for the end user, at home as well. I get to have an experience that is I've got a copy of the new Transformers Blade Runner that when Deckard is eating noodles in Neo Tokyo and it's raining I had people come in here to watch this, and they literally looked up at my ceiling, and I was, oh my God, I wasted my money correctly. This is amazing. I am financially irresponsible. And yet, I throw money at shit like this. So the possibilities are endless, and yet the movie theater that we experienced the movie in, it wasn't that bad, dude, but it wasn't, I think something was missing. So when it comes down to the score, service the movie well. Yet again, we're not talking about a Morricone or a Zimmer or no. We're talking about another element of the production team that paid homage very well to anything that would be bringing the movie to an evocative point.
Yes.
An homage. Yeah. And that is the issue that I have with this movie, which I will mention later anyway.
End of part two. Please join us next week for the third and final part of our Alien Romulus episode. If you enjoyed the show, please follow us on Facebook, tell your friends, and give us a like on your podcasting platform of choice.